And I'm joined right now by Prairie graduate and former Northern Iowa track and field star, Jessica Himes, now a Paralympian as well. And Jessica, thanks for joining me here on the Real Sports Hour. I wanted to talk to you after your performance at the Drake Relays, because I know that was a couple months ago, but at that time, you had set a new Paralympian, a world record with the discus throw. And I know that there's there's different records and everything as far as different records that are set when it comes to Paralympics. But I guess for you, what does it mean when you can, you know, I know that you've broken many world records before, but what does it mean when you continually surprise yourself at the throws that you make, and especially when you can do it in a setting like Drake?
I mean, it's exciting every time. I won't lie about that, but it's an honor no matter where I'm throwing and where and whenever I can make a record, whether it be a national, an American, or a world record like I had at Drake. For me this year, it was even more of an honor to have that world record broken at Drake Relays, because, you know, I'm an Iowa girl and not all of our athletes get to go to Drake. So being able to be there, represent, you know, my high school, my college, and then now with the U.S., as well as throwing a record there, it was sort of a full circle moment. Drake Relays has always been a meet that everyone looks forward to in Iowa, and to do this as a professional and then to break a record there, that was even more special.
Did you know right away that was a record, or did it take a little bit for somebody to have to tell you, no, you just set a new world record?
I knew it was going to be a good one right off the bat, and I could hear my coaches behind me get really excited. So between the feeling off my hand and my coaches, I knew that it was going to be good, and I did not quite expect that number. 37 was way farther than I thought it was going to be.
Well, and for you, I know that the one thing that you had mentioned was that it's always special when you can win at Drake. But especially this year, it's your first year as a professional athlete. So for you, I mean, what is it like now that you're competing for Team USA? And I mean, I know that you've competed in the Olympics before, but being a professional athlete now, what goes through your mind? I mean, is it sometimes hard to believe that you get to still do this as a professional now?
Yeah, it really is. I have to pinch myself every so often to remind myself how lucky and blessed I am to have this opportunity. I mean, if the first season for anyone being a professional is usually a little different, you have a shorter or longer season than you're used to, the time of year you compete is all different. And so it's an adjustment for sure, but it's been one I'm really excited to make.
Jessica Himes, a Prairie graduate, Northern Iowa graduate, joining me right now here on the Real Sports Hour. Jessica, I know that you've told your story many times, but just to kind of fill those in that may not know, you were born with amniotic banding on your right leg. You were born with a partial foot, and you had that amputated. For you, when did you realize that you were not going to let your disability prevent you from doing anything? When did you know that you were going to basically say, you know what, I'm not going to sit down. I can run track. When did you kind of have that desire to do that?
It's something that my family sort of instilled in me a little bit every single day of my life as we adjusted to having a disabled child and what my amputation would look like and how that would affect my life. My parents and my sisters encouraged me to try everything that I wanted, to do the same sports as they would in the same events that they did. And through that, I was able to find the love of track and field, of running, and of discus. And every day they encouraged me to continue and to use my amputation as a beautiful part of my story.
What do you remember that about track that you loved that says, yep, nope, but this is what I'm going to do?
For me, I love that it was me against myself. You do compete against other people. You run and throw against others, but you can really judge your own ability through the time on the clock or the distance that's marked out on the field. I like that I didn't have to worry about, you know, what I did affecting the rest of a team, or, you know, trying to measure something against a mark that isn't very objective. I like that I had a specific time, a specific distance, and I could go out and try to focus on bettering myself without worrying about what everyone else was doing.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned that you've done the discus. What were the running events that you would normally take part in?
Yeah, I originally started off as a distance runner, and then gearing up towards Rio in 2016, I decided to try it for the 400, and I made it during that season. And then post Rio, when I went into college, I did short sprints, 100 and 200 meter.
Okay. And for you, the discus, how have you gotten stronger each and every time, would you say? How do you keep learning? Because like we said, I mean, just seems like every time we see you at an event, you're setting a new world record every single time, or a new national record in the discus. How do you feel like you still find ways to better yourself in that event?
It's because I remind myself that I don't know everything. The more you learn about discus, the more you realize you don't know. So I try to keep myself humble in that regard and listen to my coaches and everyone else who has a lot more experience than I do.
And let's go back to being part of the Olympics. You were there in Rio and you were there in London. I know it's an obvious question, Jessica, but what is it? What is the setting like when you are in an Olympic setting on a world stage like that for you? And can you describe what it was like Rio your first year versus what it was this last summer, actually not that long ago?
Yeah, it's phenomenal. It's an environment that's really hard to match outside of that. My first games is anyone's first games is something that's super overwhelming and amazing, but I mean the memory of stepping out onto the track and just hearing the crowd and seeing everyone and really internalizing the fact that I was there competing against the best athletes in the world. That was a dream come true. And it was phenomenal to get that. And I competed twice in Rio, so I got to experience that two separate times. And then going into Tokyo, I knew that would obviously be different with, you know, the lack of spectators and the whole shift of a 5-year training program versus a 4-year training program. I knew I had one games under my belt to prepare myself mentally for competing against the best athletes in the world. And this time I could go in and really focus on, you know, doing well as a professional versus just trying to get through mm-hmm. the games in the first place.
Yeah, no, I had talked to some athletes who were trying to compete for Tokyo at that time when the pandemic hit. What was that like where you guys were? You know, at first you weren't sure were they going to have it. Then they decided to postpone it another year. I mean, how much did that really affect how you guys were training? And that, you know, oh, now you got to wait a whole nother year after preparing all that time to go there, you know, the year before.
Yeah, it was really scary. We actually had a few meetings together as Team USA before the postponement was announced, just to discuss contingency plans. You know, what we should do if the games are postponed, what should we do if they aren't? And once the announcement was made, it was scary, but also a bit of a relief. We knew that the way the world was heading, it was not going to be a normal games regardless. And so Taking that extra year, we all banded together to figure out how to continue training in the midst of a global pandemic. And a lot of our athletes, you know, didn't have access to training facilities. And some of our athletes, you know, like myself, who was still running at the time, my prosthetic leg couldn't work on roads or on grass. Same with some of our wheelchair athletes. And so we had to really make do with what we had and figure out as a community how to continue training.
How did you get through all of it? Even though it was a year later, I mean, did you feel like that you found ways to still manage to get ready for Tokyo and at that time? It was a crazy time for basically everybody. But how do you feel that you were able to adjust and say, you know what, I know that we were supposed to go right now, but all right, you know, we're going next year and this is how we're going to do it.
Yeah, I got through it with community support, and that's really the only way I made it through. My community was so amazing, and we had friends who gave us some workout and weight equipment so I could lift in my garage, since the most training facilities were closed at that time. Mm-hmm. And I had a lot of words of encouragement from people. So when times got difficult and it felt like I was not going to make the Tokyo Games dream into a reality, a lot of people encouraging me and reminding me that I was not in it alone. And that community really, they really pushed me forward.
Yeah, that was the other thing I would see is the way that athletes had to train, the way that they had to find a train. I mean, had you ever experienced something like that before where you almost had to improvise in a way just because of facilities not being open at that time? And it's just, well, you got to train somehow.
Yeah, it was insane. I mean, as a disabled athlete, I unfortunately have to adapt my training program all the time. So mm-hmm. that aspect of having to get creative wasn't new, but it was exhausting having to do it in a whole other layer. But like I said, with everyone else doing it at the same time, that sort of helped us mentally, knowing that it sucks, but it sucks for all of us.
Mm-hmm. Jessica Himes, Prairie graduate, Northern Iowa track and field star, joining me right now here in the Real Sports Hour with Team USA, a Paralympian. Jessica, kind of take me through. So you mentioned, you know, being a pro athlete now, it's been a bit of an adjustment. So what are some things that you've learned about being a pro athlete now for Team USA that, you know, that you, that are kind of really eye-opening right now, just and kind of what your schedule is usually like, and, you know, how often you're going to be competing, when you're going to be competing and everything.
Yeah, it's taken me kind of by surprise on the schedule of competitions. I mean, through my university, I'm used to a college season that is, you know, meets every weekend, but they're usually not too far away. I think they usually be like 4-hour drives in between meets. But this past spring season, I mean, I was flying every weekend to different meets around the country, and I had about a 2 or 3 day turnaround from a Paris meet down to nationals in Florida, and that was a lot. Wow. It takes it out of your system trying to adjust to that, but it was really cool to have that. And thankfully now I can have some rest from that season. It was quick, but we don't have worlds this year for para athletes, so I can take a little extra time this year to adjust my body.
Well, for you, I mean, is it, I mean, with what you're experiencing right now, I mean, is it everything that you kind of dreamed of or that you dreamed about when you first decided that you wanted to get into track and you were not going to let your disability get you down?
It's everything and more. Mm-hmm. I had a lot of dreams and high hopes for my career, and I have so far surpassed them.
what are some, I mean, do you have some goals that you have? I mean, I know that, you know, it's sort of an easy question, but how do you feel you can get better as you're now entering your, you know, start, you know, entering your first year as a pro athlete?
Yeah, my coach and I have a lot of goals that we still want to have met. And I know it sounds silly given the season I've had, but I feel like I have so much growth that I still have yet to hit. And it feels like I'm still a baby freshman kind of going into college thinking I have so much I need to learn yet. But we have a great plan for the next coming years leading up to the 24 games, which I plan to try out for and hopefully mm-hmm. eventually make my third games.
I mean, is it hard to believe that, you know, you have to think so far ahead like that, that, you know, that that's still a couple years away, but you almost in a way have to think that far ahead, don't you?
Yeah, it is kind of crazy thinking, you know, how our training plan isn't just for the next week, but next few years. But with the postponement of Tokyo, it feels like a super short turnaround from Tokyo, you know, 21 to this season 22, and then 23 is a pre-games year already, and it feels like it's going a lot faster.
Absolutely. And Jessica, I'm going to kind of go back. I'm going to kind of create this into two. It's sort of the same question, but just two separate ones. First off, when you we talked about how you found your passion for track, how did the coaches at Prairie, how did they help you continue to get better, and knowing that, you know, you wanted to even continue that beyond high school? I mean, what can you say about, and I know you give your family credit too, but how did those years in high school at Prairie with your family, your coaches, how did that all help you get to this moment?
Yeah, they were really instrumental in allowing me to sort of experiment with my how I identify as an athlete and what my goals were. That was the time through high school where people sort of decided whether or not they wanted to continue into college, and being in that phase with my teammates and talking to my coaches about it. That was a fun time where I could really decide, okay, do I want to continue, and my life as an athlete a larger part of my life or not. And a lot of my other teammates from high school decided to continue on in sports in college. And that was really the final push that I needed to continue. And so they all encouraged me to talk to the different university coaches and figure out, what I wanted, a new university team.
For you, what was it about Northern Iowa that stood out that made you want to commit to the Panthers?
Yeah, when I was looking around different colleges, I talked to a lot of them about my goals, not just as a college athlete, but also as a para athlete, knowing that I had been to a Paralympic Games and I wanted to make another team. I also talked to the coaches about the fact that I would require some adaptation on the coach's behalf, mm-hmm. because not every coach has ever coached, a leg amputee. And, I got different responses from different colleges, but at Northern Iowa, the coaches were very upfront and saying, we've never trained anyone like you. We've never, had to deal with anyone that had your specific goals, but we would love to learn and be on this journey with you. We want to do everything we can to adapt to your goals and, make you a wonderful part of the Panther family. And immediately after that meeting, I knew I was going there and I knew I was going to be a Panther for the next 4 years.
So how did they, they even said up front that we've never trained somebody like you, an amputee athlete. Mm-hmm. So how did they accommodate everything that you needed so that they could help you reach your goals?
Yeah. The first and foremost thing they did is, you kind of lay out what they did know and what they didn't know. And we had a lot of good talks between me and my coaches about, how they normally train athletes and what parts of that works for me, what parts don't, and what I needed to do on top of that. And they on themselves took a lot of responsibility to learn about training an amputee, training with my specific body, how my body does and does not respond to different things. And it was definitely a learning curve for all of us, but they took so much responsibility on their own. And they far surpassed what I ever expected a coach to do.
And how much do you still give them credit to helping you reach this point now with being a pro athlete with Team USA right now?
Oh, I give them all my credit. I know that my coaches would not want to take that credit, but I give that to them anyway. They were absolutely amazing, so instrumental in my journey.
Jessica Himes, Prairie graduate, Northern Iowa graduate, now with Team USA as a Paralympian, has been to two Olympics in Rio and Tokyo. Jessica, I guess my last question is, I know that you've spoke, we've had you at, I remember when you were a guest speaker at the TV9 Athlete of the Week dinner a few years ago, but what is still your message to athletes with your journey, using your journey as an example? What is your biggest message to athlete, whether they are a Paralympian, an athlete, any athlete? What is your biggest message that you try to send with your story and what you've overcome and how you've reached this point right now in your career?
My biggest message would be to find your passion. For me, I found the passion and love of track and field, and that has taken me farther than anything else could. I was not the greatest athlete when I started, but I had the passion and love for it that pushed me to develop further. And I think that can take you way farther than any natural talent could.
Jessica Himes, Prairie graduate, Northern Iowa graduate, now with Team USA, kind enough to join us here on the Real Sports Hour. Jessica, it's great to hear from you. Congratulations once again on that world record back in Drake, and good luck with everything else. And hopefully we'll get to talk to you again soon, maybe when you get ready for 2024 Olympics, right?
Absolutely. All right. Thank you for having me.
You bet.